powder lid, white powder fed. Seal Billy off his meds, cause he's silly in the head. 30 ox cocked in this right beside the bed. Welcome to West Virginia, the home of the walking dead. Backyard boxing, methadone suboxone, Jaeger bomb shot.
Hey folks, Jake Mays here. We are doing the third episode of the Dead Country Podcast. Mature audiences only. That's the last time we're going to have to fucking do that, thank God. But today my guest is Ben Van Camp slash now Ben Miller.
What's up?
Changing his name and shit. Ben is the head of the makeup department. He basically was the dude that designed all the makeup and has done all the work and shit and all the research for this. Let's talk a little bit about that, get into it, because I know there's been a lot of shit with the zombies. People have been very curious about that, and that's what has been winning people over. It's like, the zombies are fucking awesome. How did you decide the color palettes and things like that for the makeup?
Well, I mean, you told me to look at a few diseases that we are going to, you know...
Kuru and Mad Cow.
Yeah. And I looked at a ton of pictures, and I don't know, I was practicing on myself and just came up with it.
You practice on yourself often?
I have.
In makeup and otherwise?
Well, I beat off sometimes on myself too, but you know, other than that, that's about it.
Right on. Right on. We have been talking about it a lot, and when you look at what these zombies, you know, what a zombie running around outside all the fucking time look like, and it would be dirty. Obviously, there'd be a lot of blood, so those were important elements. But we also, the eyes were very important in terms of they needed to look sick, and, you know, it was more bruising and some greens, purples, as opposed to the other stuff that, you know, people go with more decayed look as to where this is more wounded, ill. I remember we had that first day of testing with Greg. How did that go for you?
Yeah, the first couple tries wasn't too great. I mean,
you had been practicing before that, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's different doing it to yourself and then working on someone else.
Yeah, for sure. But it seemed like it came together. You know, of course, you sit there and there are discussions as you're going, like, "Well, let's try this and let's do this." but it seemed like, you know, it was what, under, we had it locked in under an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, you worked very quickly, very efficiently. Is it just natural to you? Is it just that easy that you just can pick it up and look and be like, all right, this is what I need to do?
Well, I mean, I'm a fast learner. I mean, I went to YouTube and Google and everything and just read and watched videos on creating wounds and just making people look sick. And it comes pretty easily, I guess.
Right on.
I'm a quick learner when it comes to this.
We did, you did the makeup on The World After as well, which, you know, some people have seen and shit. And that wound, the John, William Radford, the John character, the wound on his side that Scott, the Herbert character's fucking with. And he's like, ugh, like that came out. That was made out of fucking candle wax, man.
Yeah. I know, I just kind of was trying to think what we could do. I mean, it was really my first time, you know, doing something like that, and I was hoping it looked good, and it turned out pretty good.
It did. It reminded me of, like, you hear about the low-budget horror movies back in the day, and, like, the dudes would be like, let's get toilet paper and fucking cotton swabs and shit like that. That was, you were using that stuff.
Yeah.
And you were making, like, the craziest wounds I've ever seen. You know, of course, there's latex involved. Which, how do you feel about the latex work?
It's a little harder to pick up, but, I mean, I think that I got it down pretty well now.
Yeah, well, I've seen your cuts and your tears, your gunshot wounds, and all that stuff looks fantastic. You get the... What are you giggling about?
don't know.
You watch the soccer guy? Look at that goofy bastard.
Yeah.
We've got the soccer, what game is this?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know
either. Just a bunch of people running around the field kicking a fucking ball, and it'll probably end 0-0 like always.
Oh, that's alright. We got England right now. Looks like those are a bunch of dudes that say oi a lot. Oi! I always think of Bullet Tooth Tony. No. It was the dude that played Bullet Tooth Tony in Eurotrip. Where they're about to get their asses kicked. And they, earlier in the movie, they're hanging out with the soccer hooligans. And they're about to get their asses kicked, and they come back, and the dude that plays Bullet Tooth Tony and Snatch. It's Snatch, right? Yes.
It's Jason Statham. No, it's not Jason.
It's not Statham. It's the Midnight Meat Train.
Yeah.
I can never remember that fucking. He's really. I love that. I don't. You know.
He's always a hard ass. Too.
Yeah, yeah. I love him. He cracks me up. But he was in the Expendables. That was awesome. The second one.
I haven't seen it yet,
dude. Yeah. Well, it was a lighter right there.
There's one behind you. Not in any fridges.
I will join you. poor people at home get to listen to us smoke. I don't give a shit. But anyway, we went off rambling, as happens in this a lot. When did your interest start with special effects and makeup?
Well, I mean, it was probably when I was 16 years old, and I love to play pranks on people. Like, I just like to fuck with people, and me and my friends took this girl up on the hill. It was like it's out this back road, and my friend and I, we staged a fake fight, and I pulled out a knife and I stabbed him. But what the girl didn't know is that he had a board with a sandwich bag full of fake blood in it. Well, actually, it was probably like 3 or 4 bags of fake blood. And I just kept stabbing him, and he was bleeding. Like, the fake blood was going everywhere. And the girl, like, ran out of the car and started crying and fucking losing her mind and shit. And that's when I was like, man, this is really awesome.
Right on. I remember the first thing, way before... you were the first person I had met when I had come to school. I'd left pretty much everything up north, and we had been working on film stuff then. And I came down here, but before I knew anybody, we started doing that short series.
Yeah.
And we did. You acted in shit. It was the Dark Anatomy series where we were examining
the suicide thing, right?
Like, yeah, it was like the darker parts of the human nature and human experience, and one of them was suicide. Which it was like we watched it. We're like, this is too depressing, man.
Yeah,
there's not enough humor here. If I'm not laughing at some point, I'm a little upset. I want to giggle and shit. We had done that, and you had made you had done your own wound work on that one with the blood and shit.
Yeah.
There are a couple things like that where you were doing little things here and there, and then the World After came up. This is. You've been doing makeup on production with us for quite a while. This is kind of the biggest one thus far, Dead Country.
Mm-hmm.
How are you planning on executing? I mean, especially we're going to have like days where we have 75 to 100 people coming in to do makeup.
I mean, I have a few people that's going to help me with the makeup. I'm going to show them how to do everything. And Michael Mann... and Heather Kelly, they both have, you know, special effects backgrounds and everything. They've done several things.
And you're also going to have a team. You need a team of about 10,
yeah.
I would imagine, for those big days. So especially you bringing those two people in. Because it was like the first day was UI and Greg, and you and I were kind of hashing it. You were doing... you know, majority of the work and figuring it out and stuff, and you had done the back, you know, the work before locking it in, but then to have those two people so you don't have to run around and wipe everybody's ass, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You have two other people running around with you, helping you. And
yeah, it's definitely going to help out a lot.
Yeah. That's why this is such a, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not an enormous production. You know, they spent, you know, $100 million plus on fucking Transformers, so it's not an by that standard, small budget, but we tend to do things much larger. You know, like, we get away with doing shit cheaper.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I'm bringing in a DP and a cinematographer. We'll do one with them. I already talked to Sam. Sam did The World After with us. And was amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really was amazing. And then Chris is coming in. Christopher, as we call him. He's coming in doing cinematography for us as well. And I've seen a shitload of that dude's work. He's a good director writer on his own. I think he's going to be incredible in this playground. I went on, he was doing he had a short that he was he wrote and he was directing. It was like a silent World War II thing. It's people, it's like these Jews in this restaurant and the Nazis come in and shit. Or I think it's one Nazi soldier finds them and there's this big struggle. It was awesome. It was like it was like a World War II Nazi version of the, I don't know, some of it almost seemed like it was like deleted from the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Just the way he fucked with the shadows and stuff were awesome. It's black and white. So he's just incredible. And the way he figured out how to manage things, and he's a minimalist. To where, like, he wants one camera. He wants to pretty much be the dude holding the one camera, and I'm the dude, I'm the other way. I do my own camera work as well, but I have one or two other people with me filming at all times.
Yeah.
So I can have as much stuff and as many choices. But anyway, have you and Greg discussed how you got, because it's really, essentially, when I think of the zombie department, when I think of what we're calling the Z team, to me, like, you and Greg are the two most important, and Greg was on the second episode, the previous one. How do you guys have you come together to start talking, because we're 3-4 months out now from shooting, so we're just kind of getting it all fine-tuned.
I mean, we've talked a lot about it and everything, and he's basically the choreographer. You know, with the whole, the way they, you know, laugh and giggle and all
move
that. Yeah.
And he did a great job with that.
Yeah, he did.
I think it was the combination of you two that really flushed that shit out, man. To me, it's, you know, I'm kind of religious about it, so you can't fuck with Romero.
Yeah.
Romero is the all-time great of all of it.
He is God.
Yes, he is God, most certainly, but outside of that, this is Dead Country might have my second favorite zombies, and not because I'm working on it. Like, I did direct and give a lot of ideas and avenues, but you guys really took what I was handing you, and you just ran with it and did some crazy shit that you knew what I wanted to do, but you also kind of threw your own personal styles in there as well and did the homework. Which I appreciate very much.
Yeah.
We haven't talked much at all. I was saving this topic just for you.
Okay.
How do you feel about all the specialty zombies? Because, like, Zack Snyder kicked up the game, I think, when he started. They've been doing it here and there, but Zack Snyder was the dude that. Think about this, it wasn't until he remade Dawn of the Dead that motherfucker. He goes and he's like, no, one kind of zombie isn't good enough. I'm going to have a shitload of archetypes too. And he did, man. He had a shitload of archetypes and they were all different and stuff. And you have one or two of those before. Like when you look at Romero did Land of the Dead, you had the one smart one, that big black scary looking dude. Mm-hmm. But you didn't have anything much outside of that. But now with... you know, since Snyder, most people have been going, like, people have been kind of looking at what else can we do with them. And we're no exception.
Yeah.
I loved that idea. I liked the idea of, like, every zombie has its own personality.
Yeah, it has their own unique wound and...
Oh, totally. Everything is custom for every single person. Even Greg shit. Even down to Greg picked his own attire. Because he read the script I was describing. You know, this is what it is, and it's like this and shit like that. And he took those pieces and then just flushed it out. I think the only one that I'm nervous about is the birth one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess all I have to do is practice and just hopefully make it work.
Right on.
I mean, I have a few ideas about what we're going to do, but...
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead, because like I am constantly preaching the point that we do this is for the people that are going to watch, the people that are fans of the shit.
Mm-hmm.
And zombie fans, so like, you know, they're gonna be, these people who are fucking listening are gonna be watching it anyway. There's a scene in which the brothers go into a ballroom area and there are just slaughtered, fucked up zombies everywhere that apparently a guerrilla militia or something, or the U.S. Army came in and just butchered them. Just almost. You know, you see people in these moments of irritation, like when you look at the soldiers over in the Middle East, they do horrible things to prisoners and shit like that. They force them to fuck each other, for Christ's sake. Literally. And get naked and do naked dog, like, crazy shit. But that's part of the pressure of that situation. So, logically, you would do that, but within that, there is one that had recently given birth, still alive, and her legs are badly fucked up. We're going to be using green screen for that. It's green tights, like a chroma key. But between her legs is a dead, zombified infant still attached by the umbilical cord. I've got kind of an idea how we're going to do that. It's not going to be hard at all.
No.
Making the infant is going to be probably the toughest part of it. But outside of that, it's going to be pretty simple.
Maybe we can find a prom night dumpster baby and just pick it out of the trash.
Just wait for, be like, where are they having the high school dances?
Yeah.
They're having the dances here on this day, and then we'll just stand around back alleys behind the places to wait.
Just waiting, yeah. Smoking cigs and getting fucked up.
One of these bitches are going to get given or have an abortion here in a minute.
I know why these little whores are pregnant.
Oh shit! With all the abortion talk right now, a life is a life. I don't know. I'm too liberal, so yeah, it's whoever's fucking choice.
I mean, I think that if it's incest or the mom's going to die, then you know, do it. But other than that, I mean, you fucked. You got pregnant. You should fucking take responsibility and deal with it, you know?
Yeah, well, I differ. There are a lot of choices, and to me, it's much better to have a home without a child that's not ready to have one or not capable of taking care of one.
Yeah, they might not have the means to do it.
Yeah, than to bring a child into the world that, you know, the parents are going to have to worry about feeding a fucker, that they can't barely do that, or they're terrible parents, or whatever the situation.
I mean, there's always adoption, too, because, I mean, there's a lot of people that can't have kids that want kids, you know?
And people say that to me, and I get that as well, and that's a great choice and a wonderful thing. I'm a product of adoption, so I'm not quite... So positive about it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I have negative impacts due to those circumstances, but, you know, again, I just think it's an individual's choice. Like, you shouldn't be able to be like, I disagree. You know, like, if something like that happened to me, that would not be the choice I would go with.
Yeah.
I would not be like, abort the fucker.
But I mean, you know, even some of those other homes that, you know, it's worse off there than if they would have just stayed at home.
A ward of the state is terrible.
In poverty.
A ward of the state is a terrible fucking thing, man. Like,
the entire government is a terrible thing.
Well, like I said, we've got half the world's prison population, like 5% of their population. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy.
And one out of three black people are in jail.
Yeah, black men are involved in the in that penal system.
And most of it's about marijuana, which is bullshit.
I don't understand. It's I'll be very clear. I don't think it's a drug.
No, it's not.
B, it cures cancer and shit. C, the only addiction you can get is a mental addiction, which, let's be clear, a mental addiction with weed is like you sit around bored and kind of irritated, like, I wish I could smoke a joint and calm down.
Yeah.
That's really the extent of that addiction, but, like, I've known people my entire life that were older and smoked pot their entire life and were still perfectly reasonable, happy, funny people in their 60s and shit, 70s. So I don't see it that way. It's the most harmless thing, and it cures fucking cancer. Helps people with PTSD. I don't understand it. All the things that it does, positives. And then what it could do for the economy, the money it could save, the food you could make, the fuel you could make, how it's better than deforesting. You know, all that shit. But people are sitting around like, we're listening to a fucking weed debate now. 20 minutes in. Sorry, folks. Anyway, let's get back to Dead Country.
Okay.
We are, because again, we are 3 or 4 months away. So most of the locations are, if they're not tied down, they're damn near there. And if they're not damn near there, yes, if they're not damn near there, we've got ideas. We've got one location we were going to use, but an issue happened with the business, so we can't come in. But there are two other places that are more than willing to bring us in. So that's good. They're not quite what I envisioned, and they'll have to change, of course, but that happens. How do you feel like this is different from, like, the world after, from the other productions? What has the progression been like for you? Because, like I said, you were one of the dudes been there from the beginning.
Well, I know there's definitely a lot more work this time.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And that, you know, I have to step up my game like never before. And I'm willing to do whatever I can and put as much practice as I can to get it worked out to make this fucking awesome.
Right on. you've read the script as well. Like, you were before, because I had kind of written, I typecast it. So we knew, and a lot of those dudes have been involved very early on as well. Mike and Jim were both involved really early. You were, Scott was. What's your opinion of the script? Do you?
I mean, I really like it. I mean, it flows very well. It's really good. And I'm not saying that just because you're my friend and, you know, I'm working on it. It's a great fucking script, you know?
No, I appreciate it. I'm not the dude that that thinks that I piss excellence every morning. I'm the dude that there will be days I will look at everything that I do and hate it, you know? Yeah. I'm the other dude. I'm the dude who struggles with it because it's mine and I'm too close. But, you know, Dead Country, since we got the script finally locked down, we've gotten nothing but positives from it. Which is why, like, I'm going so far as, on the podcast here in a few weeks, we're going to have a table read. We're just going to air the shit, and they're going to hear the early workings, because part, to me, a very important part of Dead Country is the humor. You know, it should be funny and shit. Yeah. And not cheeseball funny, but, you know, the right kind of funny. And you've got
nothing
two guys
like Evil Dead or anything like that.
No. It's all... I wanted to base it in so much reality that people would have to look at it and be like, this might happen one day.
I mean, it's very well possible. Mm. Especially when people eat those bath salts and shit.
Yeah, well, or, you know, like, to get some of these diseases, like, bioterrorism is so fucking real, which is where everything was built on a foundation of reality, and then we kind of, you know, we did some movie shit, you know what I mean? Like, people aren't going to, by the information we have right now about Mad Cow and Kuru, people aren't going to last as long as they are in the film. And especially the malnourishment and shit like that, not drinking water properly. So some of those elements had to be heightened and bullshitted.
Don't get me wrong. I really like, you know, the whole flesh, you know, ripping off kind of dead zombie that everyone, you know, does. But this is new, you know.
Yeah.
This is different from everything else. And hell, I'm just happy that I'm part of it, man, you know.
Right on. I appreciate that. Did I ever tell you the first time I saw 28 Days Later what I said?
What's that?
I was like, fuck, somebody thought of it first.
Yeah.
Because it was like, that's the most realistic zombie movie that I've seen thus far. And people always argue, and they're like, there's this one and this one, but, you know, there are a trillion micro-budget zombie movies, and I'm looking at things at a bit of a larger scale, and that movie was only like $4 million. I think to make. I think that's all. It was pretty cheap.
We probably could have made it cheaper.
Well,
that's what happens though. Money's evil.
Well,
people get greedy and just want to fucking do whatever they can to
help themselves out. My main goal every time we go out is, for me, pretty much what I do isn't going to change. I'll do the same thing with just about any amount of money, but I tend to, the more money that we have to fuck with, the more that we, the better it can look, the better it's going to sound, feel, the better equipment we're going to be bringing in, you know, so all that shit helps, but, you know, I've made grainy movies before. I'll probably make them later. You know, like, I like grainy movies, so that doesn't affect me much.
I mean,
but I do feel something really special with Dead Country, you know. I'm very proud of it.
The World After made it to the film festival.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, Sundance, so.
It got a very nice little nod, and we were going up against people that had spent millions upon millions of dollars on a film, and we spent nowhere near that much.
Nah.
Not even close. not even in a dream did we spend that much, so. Or a nightmare, maybe. so, you know, we still get quality storytelling and acting and all that shit out of stuff without an enormous budget. We'll do it again. And the weirdest thing that's been happening is I've been getting a lot of stuff from musicians that are like, I have a song, man. You want to use it. And you always have to tell them maybe.
Yeah.
There's a great one. We aired it the last episode. A dude, you know, because my friend Malice and
Mini Thin,
and, you know, being around the hip hop world, the Ghost Smokers. I'd done a music video that they were in, and I've been to their concerts and shit. It's just a weird, you know, hip hop in that area is a very tight kind of community. But Ill Will sent me, who's one of the rappers in the Ghost Smokers, sent me a Walking Dead song, which was, I thought was awesome. And that dude just is one of the most sick, like, I'm trying to think of what he said. He said something about cut your jawbone off and burn the dental records. There's something fucking crazy. I love that dude's style. So we've got a lot of great music coming in. And Malice told me the other day, he's like, you could have the whole library, dude. I don't give a fuck.
That's awesome.
The whole discography. So I was like, right on. and he and I have a movie coming up pretty soon. We're going to go shoot Feeds.
Hell yeah.
Which I don't even know what kind of budget we're looking at for that one.
Well, if you need me, just let me know.
Oh, yeah. You want to do Crackheads?
I guess I could. I could try it out.
Yeah, well, you know, Chappelle laid pretty good grout work.
Yeah, he did.
It's not It was supposed to be more rough and funny, so you could definitely jump in there and clean it up, make it look a little more. There's enough documentaries about crack addicts that that shit will be so easy.
Would you have to put someone in the room for you and starve them for like 6 months? I'm joking.
Well, it's kind of true. Those people don't eat. It's a concern of mine. I don't understand how you can live that way. But whatever. So, sure, man. Thank you for the water, sir. We moved. We typically record at my place generally, but we moved it all here because we were doing makeup today. I like to kind of get in the shit with people, so to speak. Which is like, I'm asking 100 people or more to do this shit. So I feel like I should also have to have gone through the process myself. And I did. We finished up doing my makeup, and took pictures and all that. That stuff will be up soon as well. We went through that today, and it's really not that tough of a process. It's not that long of a process.
I had it done probably within, 20-30 minutes?
20-30 minutes, yeah, and it was, you did latex and wound work as well, mm-hmm. and all that, so there's a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, people think of makeup as you slap on this and that, but it's a careful blending, layering process. And especially when you're talking about getting somebody to look sick, it really kind of comes through around their eyes, with the greens and the purples, and you blend that stuff great. And the way that the blood and the dirt was done is just incredible. And I'm actually taking those photos, and getting, every time I make a film, I get something from the film tattooed on me somewhere. So I'm getting my own face as a Dead Country infected person on my arm next Tuesday, which means I have to email those out to my guy today. By the way, anybody that lives in the Southern West Virginia area, Wufoo Tattoo in Blackwell.
Bluewell.
Is it Bluewell?
Yes.
I always say Blackwell. Is it Bluewell?
Yes.
Wufoo Tattoo, though, they're moving like three doors down right now. They'll be open Saturday. They're having a cookout and everything. The best artists I've ever seen, and I've been to quite a few shops and hung around that scene, and each one of their artists are incredible in their own way. You know what I mean? Like, Tommy, the guy that owns the shop, the guy that I go to, he's great with portrait, very detailed work, you know, darker work and shit, stuff that I like. Just an incredible, patient, focused dude, and the best of that I've ever seen. Hoover, who is a big dude that works there. You know Hoover.
Yeah.
He's great with, like, the tribal stuff, script, you know, all the traditional of that type of genre. And then they've got your guy Bruce. You go to him.
Yeah, Bruce Davis.
And Bruce is great with like some of the weirder stuff, a little more off. Very unique, great artist. Then they have Steve, that is Allie, which is my significant other, her guy, and he's great with when you think of traditional tattoo, he's a traditional tattoo artist, like the nautical stuff and the old school portraits, and, you know, just all that shit. He's great with. Am I leaving anybody out? There's Andrew.
Yeah, but is he still an apprentice or?
No. He's an artist now. He's good, man. He's come really far. He did that one for you on your chest.
That I'm getting covered up.
Yeah. He did that one when he was still an apprentice, and they were just letting him fuck with needles at that point.
Yeah.
Because he had been an apprentice there forever, and they never let him tattoo.
He did all the bitch work, pretty much.
Yeah, totally. They were calling him Toby and shit.
Yeah.
He's, I don't, you know, it takes you a while to find your style and what you're really great at, but, like, the dude has come along enormously. Like, he is an artist now. But those motherfuckers also, like, do paint. Like, and they do, like, huge paintings. They do, like, a big show every year where they showcase the paintings they've done for those 12 months. They do, like, ink. They do pencil, they do paint, oil. I've seen oil, I've seen watercolor. I've seen a bunch of shit. Look at that. So yeah, you know, and their place is always like decorated with their own paintings. It's an incredible little shop. Great bunch of dudes. It is, like I said, it is my favorite place to go. But we're getting that done anyway. Tuesday, we've all got appointments to go out there. They're calling it Zombie Day. Because my sister's also coming. She wants to get a zombie tattoo. I'm getting the Dead Country one. And they're going to be playing the second season of Walking Dead the entire day.
That's awesome.
This is going to be a good day, man.
I actually might try to get her into doing some makeup, too, if I can.
Who, Mindy?
Yeah.
She'll probably get into it.
I know she, you know, has a really nice camera. She can do photography now.
She's a great photographer. Just a naturally gifted photographer. And she understands, you know, the digital format has opened the world up to where you can sit there and do effects and shit in-house. You know, like right in the camera. After you take the picture, before you take the picture and shit like that. Unlike it's more easy to do now than it was prior, you know. And she's really just a master at fucking with stuff and making stuff better. And she's been doing it for years. And at this point, she's 20 years old, you know. And she's already incredible at it. And she wants to be a shrink. So what the fuck?
Yeah.
So how's things been going with you?
Good. Just going to work and school.
You enjoying the females?
Trying to.
People that don't know, Ben is recently a single guy. And to kind of venture in out there. This is kind of your first venture out.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, anybody that's been in a very long-term relationship, like, you've been out of the game for, you know,
close to 10 years.
Close to 10 years. So, like, going back in, it's always a little nerve-wracking. Like, you have to refigure everything out. Especially, like, society changes so rapidly now. That things that were acceptable 2 years ago are no longer okay.
Yeah.
And a dude that's been out for a decade and has been comfortable and all that.
It's definitely hard to try to get back there, and
Are you using the Dead Country shit a bunch?
I have a few times.
Have you?
Yeah.
You're like, I do makeup for movies.
Yeah.
I'm doing zombie makeup right now. It's awesome. You should see my wounds.
Hey, my dick. It too is zombified. It's always stiff.
My dick has Rick and Mortis right now. If you look, I put some latex wounds on it just for you.
You should put it in your mouth.
You've never seen a decomposed zombie dick, have you? No, you haven't.
You're going to. You're going to feel it, too.
Something you don't know, zombies come blood. That's why vampires are always blowing them. See, they can't do that to zombies. That's what's so badass about the zombie genre. Like, they tried, but all that ends up happening is they make a funny, cool movie.
Yeah.
Like, they've pussified vampires. Shit. And not like, you know, the original vampires romanticized, of course.
But, I mean, it wasn't, like, all sparkly and...
No, man. Like, anybody that's read Bram Stoker, his Dracula, like...
Interview with the Vampire.
Anne Rice. And there's love and all that shit there, but, like, you know, current vampire stuff is barely
I'd say Daybreakers is probably the best vampire movie that they've made recently.
It's pretty decent, yeah, I liked it quite a bit. Their color palette in that film was incredible.
Yeah.
I liked it was like the blues and the green grains and just a wonderful look. And anything with Willem Dafoe is badass.
Yeah.
The Underworld movies were good. I didn't like the there was the prequel where it was like way back in the war times.
Three?
Was it three?
Yeah.
I wasn't a fan of that. The fourth one was alright.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It shocked me, man. I was like, this is going to suck.
The way I see it, though, they can put her in any movie and it'd be fucking awesome because she's just so fucking hot. Like, they could have a movie for a 3-hour movie with just her standing there and I'd still fucking watch it.
Right, so you've got like 14 copies of The Haunted in your room.
No, I've actually never seen that.
You've never seen it?
No.
She's naked and fucking like through most of the movie. Wow. It's a little known thing. Have you ever seen Legends of the Fall?
No.
Brad Pitt and Anthony Hopkins. Oh, it's it's about three brothers. The youngest one dies in the war. Brad Pitt's crazy and travels all around. And then there's the oldest or the middle brother, tall dude. Anyway, he's the other guy in the movie. And it's, you look back at a film like that, at what those people became, and you're just like, they got those people to fuck on camera. You can't do, like, that's really hard to do now.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, people are using porn stars now.
Well, I heard about this movie that they're making with Shia LaBeouf, something about a nymphomaniac, and he said they actually fuck in the movie.
Yes. Were you checking out the interview with that and shit, Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah.
He's a damn good director now. I like him. I like his directing shit more than I do his acting. But his acting's great, too.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the movie where he was on, like, house arrest or whatever.
Disturbia.
Yeah. Like, that was the first serious movie I saw him in. Like, I saw him in Hoes and that one fucking show that I thought was terrible. That I think it was like Even Stevens or something. And like,
all the everything that he's done, like the dude now is like, I don't want to talk about any of that bullshit. That stuff's queer as fuck.
But Hoes was a good movie, man.
It was actually. I liked it. Not bad for especially a Disney movie. Yeah. All fucking things. But he's doing like Lawless.
Yeah, that should look sweet.
Which is going to be incredible. He did Transformers, but, sometimes you got to do something for the paycheck. That dude can retire.
Yeah.
That's why he can afford the ability to be like, I don't want to do studio pictures anymore. He was in one of the biggest franchises in history.
Well, the dude's like, I just want to blow shit up.
Fucking yeah. Michael Bay.
Yeah. Look how awesome it is. 17 explosions, man. From like 100 million fucking,
I think South Park had that dude nailed. Where they were like, we need to know a plot how to get through this. So Michael Bay's like, how about a helicopter? And then,
yeah.
And he's like, but there's no story. I don't understand the difference. Like, it's fucking true.
Speaking of movies coming out, have you seen the trailer for Sam Raimi's Possession?
I have.
It looks pretty fucking sweet.
As soon as somebody was like, Sam Raimi's got a movie, that was enough for me, because I love everything that fucking dude does. I like the Spider-Man movies.
So I've only seen one. Like, I don't know, I just...
Second one's the best. The third one was a huge... I don't know how you don't make an epic Spider-Man movie when you have Venom to fuck with.
Yeah.
but, whatever. He made a couple really good ones. This new one, I haven't seen all of it yet. I've seen a great deal of it. It seemed really good. It's no Avengers. It's no Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Speaking of which, you and I share a love of 80s action movies.
Yeah.
So naturally, when the first Expendables movie came out, we were probably the first two dudes that got a boner for it.
Yeah.
Like, every dude that I watched growing up as a kid, I grew up watching those all those fucking movies.
Yeah.
This is
like Rambo part. And...
Rambo, Terminator, fucking Die Hard, which Die Hard's my favorite action movie. Period. Favorite series. But then, you know, the Jet Li movies, you know, Statham.
Dude, yeah, Statham is just badass no matter what.
It was
Jet Li is pretty good too, though.
Well, it was back to back, like, just one great action star. And the second one, you haven't seen the second one, so I don't want to ruin a bunch of it for you. I've seen it. I felt the ending was a little anticlimactic, and it definitely wasn't as well put together as the first one. It's still fucking badass, man. That was the first movie maybe ever I liked Chuck Norris in. Chuck Norris is awesome in The Expendables too.
I really like him in Lone Wolf McQuaid, Chuck Norris.
Yeah. And this is total Lone Wolf McQuaid, by the way. Like, that's pretty much the character he's playing.
And what the hell's the other? And I liked him when him and Bruce Lee fought in that movie. I can't remember what it was called, but
The Dragon.
Yeah,
Twin Dragon, Enter the Dragon.
I can't remember.
There's so many of those fucking movies, Dragon movies. Well, and then they brought Jean-Claude Van Damme, and I've never been a big fan of anything that dude's done. And Ali's a huge fan of Bloodsport,
dude. Yeah, and Kickboxer's good.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't get into those as much. I just didn't like him. This movie, I thought he was an incredible pimp, like villain. He looked like Sessler on the Resident Evil series.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like in the game. Well, the movie. That shit nailed Sessler.
Yeah, it really did.
And he is very much like Sessler. Just a total asshole villain. Just killer. but the ending, man. The ending I really didn't like at the last... I don't know. I thought there was going to be one more big fight. You know, like, yeah. I was like, there's going to be one huge one at the end. I was very wrong. But it was kind of nice to watch Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and Bruce Willis all standing side by side shooting guns at bad guys. That was awesome. I'd watch that shit all day.
Dolph Lundgren's a really good actor, too. Like, he's been Army of One, War Child, and he's done a few others. Universal Soldier. Dude, he was fucking awesome in that.
I remember Universal Soldier. Which dude? It's been a while.
He's
I remember Bill Goldberg and
Lundgren is the guy that was addicted to drugs or whatever in The Expendables, and then he fights Jet Li.
Oh yes. Now
and he was also the Russian in Rocky IV.
Mm. Yes. I'm with you now. You know what really disappointed me?
What's that?
They don't have Oh, no, I can't think of that dude's name. The dude from Iron Man 2. He's done so much shit recently. I keep wanting to call him Nick Nolte, but it's
not.
No,
it's not. It's,
people that are listening to this right now are screaming this fucking dude's name at us. Come on. Why am I having such a hard time with this? I can picture him.
Yeah, he has long hair.
Yeah, he
was a tattoo artist in The Expendables.
In The Expendables. I'm trying to think of what else.
The Warrior. He was a warrior.
Right.
I'll fucking look it up.
Fuck, dude. This is going to kill me. Thank God we're in the age of technology.
We both know who it is. Mickey Rourke, is that his name?
Mickey Rourke, yes, sir. Yes.
I didn't even have to look that shit up, yo.
We weren't really quick with it, but it came.
Yeah.
It fucking came. Like ejaculate.
We're not gay, folks. We just like to make gay jokes. I love gay people, by the way. They're some of the best people in the world.
Yeah, you do. Well, you know, I'm a bit of a humanist, so I tend to put everybody on the same level. You know, nobody can help being born anyway, nor should they have to regret it, or, you know, you shouldn't necessarily be proud of it, but you shouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, you should just be happy with being a human being and being alive. So, like, you know, gay people have something, okay, gay men have something in common with Allie. They like dudes. being lesbians have something in common. We like women. I don't understand why it needs to go beyond that.
Well, people just make it a big fucking deal, and really it's not.
How the fuck is gay marriage a big political thing now?
The thing is, they don't...
It's human rights, goddammit.
I don't see how they can't just, like... You know, in the past, like the Romans and all that shit, they had fucking orgies with dudes and whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they were bisexual. Fuck. Yeah. They had their wives, but they also had...
Like gay lovers and
shit. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just part of human nature.
I guess they're just like, oh, let's just forget about that. But, I mean, it fucking happened, you know?
Well, it's not... What bothers me is this. It's an absolute human rights issue.
Yeah.
Like, they should be able to do the exact same things as every other human being on the fucking planet. And just because they prefer something that some people don't consider typical... Well, the people that don't consider it typical should shut the fuck up and get over it, because it's not their lives. at all. It has nothing to fucking do with them. But also, like, how can that be? It shouldn't have to be a political game. It should just be like, well,
let them be happy.
Yeah, let them go do their own thing. And you know what? They're better parents.
Yeah.
Statistically, you look at it, they're better parents than heterosexual couples. So, I don't understand. They should get the same tax breaks and all the shit that regular people get to enjoy. Of course, this is coming from a dude that's not, you know, religious. Of course, the religious people, their book doesn't necessarily say anything either.
Yeah.
They go to the Old Testament.
Say something about laying with another man or whatever.
Yeah, it's from Leviticus. You know, if a man lays with another man, they should be both put to death. Well, you know, the Old Testament's a kooky book. Like, it's like everybody that is alive in this country is guilty of something by death in some way. Like, we're all, by those standards, we all should be killed for something we did. So that book shouldn't even fucking count.
Yeah.
And not to mention, it's a book, man. Like, there are important things in it, and there's a certain, it gives you a certain code that's good, like, you know, love your neighbor, treat people like you want to be treated, shit like that. Don't steal from people and rape.
I'm not saying Jesus was gay, but fuck, he hung out with 12 dudes all the time.
Well, the,
you know?
There's this, the Dead Sea Scrolls, when you start reading that stuff. Mary Magdalene, by the stuff that's out of the canon that they cut out that nobody ever reads, you know, that they hide from people, it said there were a second set of apostles, and Mary Magdalene led them, and she was Jesus' wife, and, you know, out of all of the children, you are my favorite, he said that to Mary Magdalene. You know, when you get the full picture, you know what I mean? Like, they like to say, you this stuff, but not this stuff, right? But when you look at all of it, all of the text, even the shit they cut out that nobody's ever supposed to read, like, you get a very different picture. Like, even, there's something called the Gospel of Judas, which is like the dude, he talks about how without what he did, without betraying Christ, that was his purpose, to betray Christ. That was God's will to do it. Jesus told him to do it. I mean, that was all. But they cut that out. They don't want you to read that.
Yeah.
They want you to read the other things where you're like, fucking, you know, the Jews killed Jesus and so did Judah, it's his fault.
Yeah.
it's all kooky to me. That type of mentality is kooky. I'll call her back. Sorry, is my phone ringing? Anyway. like I said, this is episode 3, so people are kind of used to the rambling and going on and, like, the fucking phone calls that come in and shit.
And the different shit that we talk about.
Yeah, just the rambling going off. Scott, let me tell you, Scott really...
He's a rambling motherfucker.
He went off the rails sometimes. He would be in mid-thought and switch in the middle of his thought about something, which drove me crazy.
The song Ramblin' Man was made by him. Totally. Or should I say about him?
Totally. He was drinking quite a bit that night.
Well, imagine that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with drinking, though. Well, or smoking weed.
Well, I'd say anything, there should be some kind of responsibility. But, you know, weed and alcohol are miles apart from each other. Yeah. Alcohol is technically a poison. And you drink too much, you get stupid, make terrible decisions, you get herpes or something.
Yeah.
You know, or get air knock a bitch up on accident.
Look, I got that bitch pregnant.
Yeah, so, like, stupid shit happens on. With alcohol, you know, with pot, like, you eat, you giggle, you watch cartoons, and you fall asleep.
Yep. Or have sex, and it's like the best sex you've ever had in your life.
But you can still think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's still a thought process.
I mean, no one dies, you know, from smoking weed.
No one's ever died. You can't die. You can't. That's what bothers me so much. Is like, cigarettes kill how many people? What if we would replace the cigarettes with joints and be like, smoke joints to cigarettes? People would be a lot easier to get along with. They'd be a lot happier, I think. They'd have less health issues. So, you know. And your tolerance is going to get to a point, if you would smoke that way, eventually you get to a point to where, like, it wouldn't fuck you up. You'd be able to control completely. You'd just be in a better headspace. People, you know, some people are still not quite educated on it as well as they should be. Especially there are a lot of people out there that tried it once when they were drunk at a frat party or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you mixed it with fucking alcohol.
Yeah.
Alcohol makes you an idiot anyway. And I drink, you know what I mean? I drink occasionally. So, right on. I guess we're going to be wrapping it up here pretty soon. It's been a good episode. It's been, you know, a little all over the place.
Yeah.
But they're kind of used to that, and, you know, there's been a lot of dick jokes.
It happens.
Yeah, people are used to it. Who gives a shit? Fuck it. Anyway, next episode, episode 4, we're going to have another, we're going to have a set of guests, actually. We're going to bring in Michael Mays, who plays Mike in Dead Country, and we're going to bring in Joseph Jimboy, that plays Jim in Dead Country. We're going to do the same spiel with them for episode, what is that, 4? Yeah, episode 4. Episode 5, we're going to bring the guys in again, but instead of doing this style of thing, we're going to do a table read. And they're going to, you know, standard table read, like, you know, anytime you're in pre-production, your first go through, you sit down, everybody has a script and they read it. They're going to be doing that, so that'll be here on the podcast for everybody to listen to, and people can get a fuller sense of what the movie's going to be.
That'd be cool if we can get everybody together and just do one time.
Yeah, probably. Well, there's not a lot of speaking roles.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, I mean, not the, you know, reading the pages, just everyone getting together and.
Oh, yeah, we'll do,
talking about this.
We're going to be doing that eventually, too. Right now, I wanted, you know, because like I said, we're doing a show a week, and, you know, you want to keep having some material and bringing in one or two people at a time. It's pretty good about that. But we are going to do a big group discussion eventually, but I wanted to get the table read out there for people to hear and shit like that. And also, you know, it's nice. If people want to head over to the Kickstarter, they can listen to it and be like, this sounds like a funny, good movie and shit. Sounds awesome. So I'm going to throw in $5. You know, which Kickstarter is failing, but fuck it.
Yeah.
We'll live. We'll make Dead Country anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, thanks for joining us this week. I'm Jake Mays with
Ben Miller.
Ben Miller's still funny. Anyway, we will see you guys next week. Flags and moonshine. Many getting down. Started riding this bitch, burn the motherfucker down. Man, flags and moonshine. Time to raise hell, so fuck the police and start blazing on your pound. Man, flags and moonshine. Hillbilly murder, much love, white boy, keep drinking till you drown. Man, flags and moonshine. White trash, rocking crowds, country boys across the nation, loving the sound. Outlaws, bitch, raise never snitch. I'm Major League, softball, slow pitch. Gasoline and matches like thunderbolt flashes. 6 guns, 2 knives, dynamite under the mattress.